Welcome to a brand new season of 360 with Ohio State Athletics, presented by Kroger. I'm Tyler Danberg, and each episode we talk to a different Buckeye head coach to learn more about their coaching journey and their programs. This week, we talk to Spirit Program Director and head dance coach Melissa McGee. A 2011 Ohio State graduate, McGee has danced and coached for the program since it became a varsity sport her senior year in 2010. After graduation, she was named head dance coach at just 22 years old and has not looked back since. McGee's program is coming off a dominant performance at the UDA National Championships back in January, winning titles in jazz and spirit, while Brutus Buckeye won best mascot. The spirit and dance team stole the show yet again and further cemented themselves as one of the premier programs in the country.
It's kind of one of those things where after the fact you register that, hey, it's been couple of years now, we've got to do the same, you know, win the same championships, which is just kind of crazy. But I think just so proud of our program holistically. I think for me, you know, each sort of individual entity having success was like a really special moment for us, and particularly Brutus. Ray's done a great job with the program, and they've worked really hard, and it's a great group of kids. So we're excited.
What is that week like at Nationals?
Oh my goodness. It all sort of gets jam-packed into 3 days, but we go down a day early to practice and get acquainted and all of that. So it's one of those things where you can't really plan a whole lot in advance. You know, hope that you're as prepared as you can be. And then once those performances get on the stage, you kind of see where the chips fall and you make your adjustments throughout the competition like any sort of sport does. And, you know, you hope that your kids are prepared and confident and ready to perform under an immense amount of pressure, to be honest.
There are three categories at the UDA National Championships: jazz, palm, and game day. If you could, Melissa, walk us through what each one of those entail.
Yeah, that's right. We compete in three. And honestly, I think game day is the easiest for people to understand because that is where most people see us on the sideline. So that category is really new. And really, it was created to bring a little piece of the sideline experience to the competitive stage. So we do our fight song. We also do a chant. We also do, this year we did a timeout routine to Sloopy. So a lot of the things that you would see us do on the basketball court or the football field, but we just sort of enhance them. So that's game day. Jazz and palm are more traditional dance style. So jazz is truly when a lot of people think of dance. I think they think of jazz. And there's a wide variety of sort of like different takes you can have. You can do slow, fast, lots of different things on jazz. But our kids that have been on our team have trained in jazz since probably the age of 4. So something that they work a really long time on. And then palm has like a base of jazz technique, but it's really about visuals and creative elements, and they have palms in their hands. So those two styles are much more technical. Game day is much more about school spirit, energy, enthusiasm, things of that nature.
Which one of those routines takes the most time?
Jazz, hands down.
Why would that be?
I will say jazz and palm probably take equal amount of time, but there are the most sort of like endless opportunities in jazz. It's a really broad category description. So when you're trying to be creative, there's just a lot of different lanes you can take. So it does take some time to figure out what's going to be right for the year. And we might workshop 3 or 4 different concepts before we land on one.
What makes that one concept stick?
Honestly, we're kind of known for pushing the bar and doing something outside of our comfort zone. So we try to bring something different to the stage every single year. And so usually it's the one that feels the most fresh or different or exciting to us, if that makes sense.
What made this jazz number unique this year, taking home another national title?
So funny enough, we actually started with a different routine, and about halfway into the season, we realized it wasn't working. So we learned a completely new routine right about end of November. And so it's one of those things where just kind of like you put a game plan together as a coach and you realize, hey, my plays aren't working, or we need to switch our coverage or whatever it is. It's very similar like that. For us, we got into it and it wasn't working. So we had to switch it. And so for us, it was a little bit like, we tried one thing and it didn't work, so we were excited about this other lane, and it ended up being a great switch for us strategically.
Yeah, it clearly worked. 13 national titles in the last 7 years. What should people know about the dance team that they don't necessarily know yet?
Yeah, dance is like a really unique sport because it is an artistic sport. So I think what people don't or may not realize is that the dancers that we recruit to Ohio State have likely been dancing, like I said, since the age of 3 or 4. Dance is one of those sports where you definitely specialize in it. Some people later than others, but you really, it's more like gymnastics or ice skating, where once that's your lane, that is definitely your lane. And you work really, really hard at it. So our dancers probably trained at their studio 5, maybe 6 days a week throughout their entire high school career. It is definitely one of those things where you find it, you find your niche, and you really spend a lot of time. So they are some of the best, most talented dancers you can find across the country.
What does recruiting look like in dance?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's changed so much. So funny enough, at Ohio State, we didn't start out recruiting. We started out like most of us grow up in the dance world, you audition. So it's sort of like an open audition, kind of like a tryout. You go in, anybody can show up, you make it through your rounds of cuts, and then you make the team. And about 8 years ago, my sport administrator, Carrie Hoyt, you might know, she's actually the football sport administrator these days. She was basically like, hey, we want to move you to get more recognition and more respect, but anybody can show up at your tryout. That really just doesn't make sense for how all of our other elite sports here at Ohio State recruit. Would you be open to switching to recruiting? So Ohio State was actually the first school in the dance space, really in the cheer space either, to go to a recruiting-based team selection. And sort of the rest is history there, because all of the Division I sports or, you know, cheer and dance teams really at this point have switched over to a recruiting model. So we were proud to be the leaders in that space and really sort of align what we do with cheer and dance with what every other sport here at Ohio State does. So it's very similar. It's a 24/7 gig. You're always on to the next class. And, you know, it's talent evaluation and scouting just like any other sport.
Who in the athletic department or who else in the sport did you consult to learn more about what to look for in recruits?
Yeah, we tend to look to, at least in the dance space, the other artistic sports. So synchronized swimming is obviously a powerhouse program at Ohio State, as is we share a facility with gymnastics. We both train at Stuart Wood Athletic Center. So we use those resources. Holly and Synchro and Meredith and Women's Gym have been really wonderful sort of cohort, if you will, of artistic sports that we're all kind of trying to do the same thing. And so they've been really great resources and similar head coaches for me to bounce ideas off of.
So these last few years, since you went to recruiting instead of more auditions, how have you built your teams?
Yeah. I mean, for us, that's been allowing us to have improved retention, but also an improved sort of view or landscape of what talent could look like at Ohio State. So we've truly gotten probably, if not the 6 best, very close to the 6 best dancers every single year in our recruiting class. Because it's so new, there aren't as many, call it like, hey, you know, recruiting class evaluations, but just anecdotally, I can tell you that we bring in some of the most talented classes year after year.
You've also added on director of the Spirit program. So what does your day-to-day look like with Spirit?
I think the cool thing about my day-to-day is it's so different, and it really depends on the season that we're in. Obviously, in mid-July is when our teams report to get prepared for the season, to get prepared for football, get prepared for the duality that we have, which is we are on the sidelines at football. We are representing and supporting other sports, women's volleyball, men's and women's basketball, but we also have our own sport. So we come in mid-July. So, you know, it really depends on the type of part of the season that we're in, but I have a mix of coordinating with Ray Sharp, our mascot coach, and Kelsey Giantonio, our cheer coach, making sure that we're ready for whatever is coming down the pipeline for us from an athletic event perspective. But also, you know, right now we're in budgeting season, so I'm working on the budget and I'm working on our team calendars for next year. And then, you know, I have 20 hours a week that we get to train in our own with their own team. So planning, practice planning and choreography and all of that for dance as well.
What do you think the busiest month out of the year is for you then dealing with the 3 different entities?
Hands down, November. It is we start to plan football, bowl travel, football regular season is going on. basketball, men's and women's layers on. We still have volleyball going. And not to mention, it is like the most important, I would say second most important month from a nationals prep season for us. So November is certainly when you will find us clocking 10, 12, 14 hour days pretty much every day.
How hard is it to prepare for nationals when your dancers are also dealing with being at games and individual events?
I mean, it's something that I would say I've gotten better at with time. I think you've learned what works. You've learned how to build a calendar with flexibility. You know, for me, it's, you know, when you think about a basketball coach or a football coach and they're planning their training schedule, they know what their games are going to look like. We are relying on how our basketball team does or how our football team does to be able to plan our practice schedule. So I've gotten good at having a plan A, B, C, and D of, hey, if we make it to the Big Ten Championship for football, I'm going to lose a weekend, so that's going to be the schedule. If we don't make it, but we think we're going to host a quarter, you know, a CFP first-round game, that's going to be the schedule. So we honestly build out three or four schedules and then throw them out the window as those scenarios come to fruition or they don't. And I've gotten okay with flexibility and knowing that that's just part of the job, and our teams have to be able to be adaptable and flexible, honestly.
When in the year, Melissa, does choreography begin for you?
It begins as early as September, so, or August. You know, right now we're planning next year's choreography, and we're looking at scheduling late August, early September for one routine, and then late September, early October for another routine.
If there is a brand or style for an Ohio State dance when people come and watch your athletes compete, what do you want them to see?
It depends on the routine. So in POM, we want to be really athletic. We want to be the fastest moving on the stage. We want to show the athletic demand that our kids can execute. I think that's what makes us really unique. And a lot of that ties back to our strength and conditioning program. I've had the same strength and conditioning coach for the team for the last 15 years that I have coached. And so our partnership there, she also trains synchro. Our partnership there has been really phenomenal. And so I think from a POM perspective, that's what we want them to see. But from a jazz perspective, we recruit some of the most athletes that have the highest level of artistry. And that is something that I hope even the sort of average Joe, I hope if they watch jazz, they can appreciate that there's a level of artistry. And then certainly within the realm of dance, those people can appreciate how high that level is. As well.
What measures do your athletes go to make sure they're conditioned enough to be ready to go?
Yeah, and that is where it really does align like any other sport. So they're in the weight room three times a week. Coach G, Kim Daly-Badgley, is our strength and conditioning coach. Like I said, she's been with us a really long time. We've sort of tweaked and perfected that system for what phase they are in their training. But, you know, we just had a meeting today. We're moving in. We're in our off season mostly, where we're just doing basketball tournaments at this point. And so it's a great loading season in the weight room for them. So they will be under the bar when they come back from spring break, just like any other sport, trying to get personal best, whether that's bench, standing long jump, box jump, you know, any of those things that metrics that are important for us, for other athletes, are just as important for ours.
You've alluded to it before, Melissa, but in addition to competitions, your team dances at sporting events ranging from football to volleyball, everything in between, including basketball. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a competition routine and one for a game?
So much, honestly. That's where I think when people know us and kind of get to see what we do in the sidelines, they see what I would call very like foundational level skills. Our presence there is really more about entertainment and bringing the Ohio State traditions to life. And so that is one skill set. But what you will see at a competition routine are very high level technical elements. Acro has become a huge part of what we do in POM. So you'll see literal some flips and jumps and turns and all of those things in our competition routine that when we're wearing tennis shoes at a football game or a basketball game, it's just actually not safe for us to do those there. So you're seeing a completely different arsenal of skills and technical elements in those routines in a competition setting, as opposed to what you would see on a sideline.
And now a word from our friends at Kroger.
Enjoy more ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now back to our conversation with Melissa McGee. You've also got an ace up your sleeve in Brutus Buckeye. How do you incorporate the famous mascot into your numbers?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Brutus and the brand of Brutus Buckeye is something we are really, really proud of. I would probably argue until the day I die that Ray Sharp has really defined that. He is was on the team as a mascot when I was on the team as a dancer, so I've got to see his journey from both student athlete and transfer to coach, and his honestly just like knowledge of the world that is collegiate mascots and how to build a brand is just really exceptional. And so he has some signature moves that, you know, Ray and you know, Brutus have worked really hard on. And so it's great to be able to showcase that in our spirit program where we have cheer, dance and mascot, because he's so well known and they've done such a good job of building his brand here in Columbus, but honestly nationally as well.
Do you know when Brutus punching the sides of his head began?
That is a Ray question, but since I've been around, that has been signature. So at least 15 plus years.
Now, you've had a lot of numbers. It feels like every year there's a routine that goes viral. You've been with the program as a dancer, now as a head coach for a long time. How do you think social media has helped bolster the awareness of the dance program?
To be honest, it's one of the things that I attribute it to at most. While I do feel like we've really raised the bar from a performance standpoint, I think it has really coincided in the era of Instagram, but particularly TikTok taking off and TikTok grabbing on to what they call, quote, the dance Super Bowl, unquote, which is that UDA competition in January. It's made it more of a norm for your everyday Ohio State fan to know that it's going on because of sort of the chokehold that social media has on that event. And so we've really benefited from it. As a fun fact that I always like to share, the dance team has the second most followers on Instagram, only behind football, out of any sport at the Ohio State Athletic Department. And so it's really, truly identified and strengthened our brand on social media as well.
Engagement, such a key for your program. What are some of the ways that your athletes engage with the young dancers and cheerleaders who look up to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think all of them are really engaged in social media, but we also host a ton of camps and clinics. For us, it's sort of twofold. It gives exposure to young dancers, and we want them to know what dance team is all about. We want high schoolers to know what dance team is all about. It's changed so much and really become such a inspirational destination for them after high school. And so we do host a lot of camps and clinics for the dance team. And also they, you know, our dancers have a really strong social media presence as individuals as well. So
Ohio State's been a long time destination for you, but let's go back to the beginning. When was the first time you started dancing?
I was 2.5. So I had always loved to just jump around and bop around at home. And I think my mom and my dad were both high school coaches and always believed in the value of team sports. I think my dad maybe was hoping I would do something more in an athletic department. But at age 2.5, I jumped onto dance and quite literally never left the studio. I danced from the age 2.5 all the way up through high school.
Was there a moment where you became serious about dance?
Honestly, I became pretty serious really young. And I think that's what you find with a lot of the kids that end up dancing at Ohio State. Probably first or second grade for me, I really fell in love with it. I couldn't get enough. And luckily, like I said, I had parents that supported me in that. They saw the value of what the studio brought to me as it relates to their experience with coaching, or my dad was an athletic director at Fremont Ross for a really long time. So kind of had that background and really understood what that meant for the development of life skills. And so I had really great parents that believed in that. journey for me.
So you're from the Toledo area. What was your first impressions or memories of the Ohio State dance program?
Yeah, so when I joined, we were a club sport, so life was really different back then. But I had a dancer that I danced with at the studio that was on the club team. So I came down, remember being a junior in high school, watching them, and I was like, you know what, I'm not done dancing yet. I really want to keep doing it. And then once I got here, I learned about their sort of mission as a club team to ultimately be a part of the athletic department. And lucky enough, Gene Smith had the vision to bring the dance team into the athletic department my senior year of college. So I just kind of timed it perfectly to be able to experience that transition.
Where were you and what were you doing, Melissa, when you found out that dance was being elevated from a club sport to a varsity sport?
I actually remember exactly where I was. I was at home. I was a junior. We were hopeful. We had heard that that was sort of what Gene's vision was. We knew that there were a lot of admin meetings, but it was the spring of my junior year that our coach had a meeting with us. And I don't think I knew at the time how exciting and how monumental that was. But looking back now, I can truly appreciate all that went into that and all the people that alumni on our team that really pushed and advocated for that transition.
What was that year like when you found out that you would be moving to the varsity level?
It was interesting. You know, Gene has obviously moved on and is in our AD, but even from the last year that he was, he would never let me forget what that transition year was like and how many fans weren't quite ready for that change. And I learned a lot about walking before you run in terms of how to build a program. And I think that the lessons that I learned that year in that transition really helped us be successful in building out the program to the level that we wanted it to be in all facets. And so patience was a key attribute that Gene definitely helped me learn.
So after your senior year, Melissa, how did it come about you getting the position to become head coach of the dance program?
Yeah, that's a great question. I never really anticipated that. But the spirit program director at the time, I had worked with really closely. I was the captain of the team my senior year. And my head coach had left the program, so they were searching for a head coach at the time. Couldn't really find anybody that the spirit program director at the time felt as comfortable with as me. And I kind of agreed to do it as a year transition to buy them some more time. But I always say I probably should have known that coaching was in my blood and in my genes. And once I got in it, I had the vision for the program. I really didn't feel like I could walk away. And 15 years later, here we are.
You said your parents were both high school coaches. Yeah. So now that you've been doing this a long time, what are some things that they did that you find yourself doing?
Well, I sort of joke that I'm like a perfect mix of both of them because my dad is incredibly analytical. I definitely have that side. I'm type A. I am a planner. I am, you know, always thinking about three steps forward. And I think in my role with the spirit program, that is something I've had to do and I've had to get good at. And so I know so much of that comes from him. And my mom is much more of the emotional leader. And so I do feel like I have that ability to connect with kids and meet them where they are. And especially this generation, you have to learn how to tailor your approach to each kid. And I feel like a lot of that comes from her. So I do joke that they sort of set me up for success here in sort of getting that balance, that yin and yang personality.
How has your approach to the job evolved over time?
Oh, so much. I mean, I think part of it is just the generation of the kids that you have these days. But I think for me, it's really been about continuous improvement. And I think anytime you're a coach, that needs to be your mentality. You've never reached any pinnacle. There's always going to be somebody working harder than you. And so for me, it's always been, okay, what do we do well? What can we improve on? What's our plan to do that? And I sort of geek out over that. I love to figure out how to get better. I love to figure out how we can avoid mediocrity at all costs. That's sort of what keeps me going. That's what makes me tick.
You're an alum of the program. You're an alum of the university. How important is the alumni base to your program?
I mean, huge. I think for especially dance and cheer, honestly, the cheer alumni are so strong, and that program has been around for so long that they have such incredible involvement and at really high levels. Their alumni base is very organized, very established. But I think on the dance side, we really didn't have that. We've had a lot of different variations of a club sport that we're integrating into a varsity sport of alumni. And so it's really been about trying to make them proud and trying to see that they were the reason why we've been able to make strides as a varsity sport.
What does a football game day look like for you, Melissa?
It's long. It's a long day. It's about 8 hours, to be honest with you. We're usually there about 3.5 hours before tip, I'm in basketball season, kick. About 4 hours before kick, and then the game, you know, itself can be 3.5, 4 hours. So we do preseason or pregame events. We go in about 60 minutes before kick, and then we have our full game day where we deploy all of our coaches and all of our athletes around the stadium. So, yeah, it's a pretty big day.
When do your athletes first come to campus in the summer?
Mid-July. Yeah, we report around July 15th for the next season.
What is an Ohio State dance practice like in one word? What would it be?
One word. All-encompassing. Because it really depends on what we're prepping for. It could be a full game day practice. It could be technique. It could be working on style. It just really depends. These kids have to be really versatile. So I would say versatile or all-encompassing for sure.
What is it like to be the head coach of a program at Ohio State?
You know, I think it's a really great honor, if I'm being honest. And I don't know that I was fully prepared for that at 22 when I stepped into it. But I can really appreciate that now that the other coaches that we have at Ohio State that are head coaches, it's such an incredible community. I have the utmost respect for them being truly masters and at their craft, whatever that is. And so I think for me, it's such an honor to be in that mix with them.
Who helped you, especially early on in your coaching career?
Oh my gosh. I would say for me, it was definitely at the time, the spirit program director that I was under. She was super influential for me. Funny enough, I would say the strength coach, Coach D, was a wonderful mentor for me. In terms of building our program. As of late, I would say Carrie Hoy, my administrator, has been probably my biggest role model within the department, really influential in guiding us in developing our program, for sure.
When fans come to Ohio State sporting events, they see the Spirit program everywhere in some type of facet. What should fans know about the work that gets put in by the Spirit program day in, day out?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that they recognize that we make it look effortless, but to get to that point, it's just as demanding as any other sport in its own right. And so I would hope they appreciate the discipline and commitment that the athletes have that they can't see to get to that point where we are trying purposely to make it look effortless to be on the sidelines for sure.
Last one for you. What is your favorite part of your job?
The student athletes. I think building the program kept me here for a long time. The vision of being able to do that, the thrill of being able to do that. I've loved being an underdog. That for a long time, I think, was probably the best part. But now it's the student athletes and the people that we get to go across the country and recruit and tell them what it means to be a Buckeye is for sure the most fulfilling part for me.
That's Ohio State Spirit Program Director and Head Dance Coach Melissa McGee. Melissa, thank you so much for the time and best of luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
To keep tabs on and learn more about the Dance and Spirit programs, go to OhioStateBuckeyes.com and be sure to check out future episodes of the show as we talk to different Buckeye head coaches. Until next time, I'm Tyler Danberg, and this has been 360 with Ohio State Athletics presented by Kroger.